Meet Ayomakinde, a multi-talented and decorated professional with a rich and diverse career in media and communication. His journey in this field began in 1989 with a short course in journalism. Ever since, he has made significant contributions to the industry. Ayomakinde has been a part of various prominent media outlets in Lagos State, Nigeria, starting with Radio Lagos in 1991. He has spent much of his career in radio broadcasting, with some television hosting experience as well. Today, he co-hosts Sunrise Daily on Channels Television, Africa's most admired media brand. He is also a mentor to many broadcast professionals. He set up Gold Apples Media with a vision of influencing change. Ayo serves with Daystar Online and is happily married to Oluwase, and they have a quiverful of children. Today at the Excellence in Leadership Conference 2023, please welcome our host for the panel session, Ayomakinde.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Yep. My name is Ayomakinde. Yes. Thank you for the setup. Elimbo, I will do my own back. First of all, help me thank this wonderful servants of God. Generally, we know them as Pastor Sam Adeyemi and Pastor Nick Adeyemi. We have a code in house. If you're a member of this star, we call them PSA and PNA. But since both of them are doctors, we don't want to call Pastor Sam DSA because it will sound like DSK, and we already have DSK. So should we now call Pastor Nick a DNA? DNA. Please give Jesus a round of applause. They say ladies first, so I'm going to ask you, Dr. Nick Adeyemi, the kernel of what our experiential speakers have spoken about has been the family, the home. Transiting from pain to gain is a lot.
Yeah.
I know where I'm coming from as well. And at least 90% of the people in this room know where they are coming from. Pastor Sam has spoken quite a number of times about coming from the negative.
Yeah.
Transiting is a lot. For those who still have the opportunity, especially parents, what can they do to begin to reverse that trend now? So that those who cannot have the resilience of Helen Paul and the resilience of Miss Folake can have it now.
Thank you so much, Ayo. It's been amazing all day. You'd agree with me, and even since yesterday. And well done to our visionary leader of leaders. Always celebrates you. It's an honor to do life with you. The family, without mentioning the word family, it's entrenched in our lives. Most interviews start out with you being asked, tell us a bit about your background. I've been interviewed a lot, and that's usually the starting point. And you're wondering, where do I start from? Where do they always start? Why do interviewers always ask that? Because they know that your background affects your outlook in life. Where you started from will still shape or have a major influence on where you are today. So most people that are interviewed are successful people. And we're all, successful in various degrees, right? When you're called up for an interview, it's because you have succeeded at something, you're a known person, and so people want to see, before you became this person that we're interviewing, where did you start from? Why do they always say, tell us, you know, where you were born, how you were raised? Is it just for gist's sake? They want to see if there's a connection between how you started and how you are doing now. And many times, oftentimes, many have a lowly background, nothing much. Of course, there were those who were born with a silver spoon, and obviously, they also took it to the next level.
Yeah.
So that's just to say that our background, the family you came from, with a family or without a family, impacts. Because I know of those who, I mean, I run an orphanage, so without a family as well. It's important that we as parents just borrow some wisdom from that to be intentional, to be very intentional. Because I think that maybe for most of us, our parents were not intentional. They just did it, you know. There really isn't any solid manual. But going forward, we have to be intentional about our parenting. We've got to say, how I was raised, I don't have to raise my children how I was raised.
Yeah.
Of course, if there were good things to borrow from how you were raised, obviously, apply it. But I think we have to study parenting. We have to study children. We have to be more deliberate. Before we bring children into this world, we have to, you know, check ourselves as well. Are we healed?
That raises the next question.
So that we don't let this vicious cycle continue.
Allow me.
And we have to forgive as parents. We have to be forgiving.
We'll come to those, you know, corrective things. Pardon me, Pastor Sam. I have said on air a few times, hosting a Saturday program on Channel Television, that there are some parents today who need parenting.
And no shame in that, but that's the truth.
So, how do parents who need parenting parent others?
I think the starting point for parenting who need parenting is to look at yourself and admit that I've fallen short. I don't have the skills, or I've been so badly hurt, and I have not worked, allowed a deep work in myself to come out of it, to be healed for the sake of the coming generation, because they are watching, and there's no excuse. So that's where your faith, drawing strength and grace from God, the Creator, the parent of parents, you know, the one that said that you and your children are for signs and wonders. The scripture says, my children shall be taught of the Lord. Our children shall be taught of the Lord. Great shall be their peace. I always say, God, teach me also because I'm your child. Because I need that peace as well. Being humble and acknowledging that we don't have all the answers. Searching the scriptures, reading books, listening to people's stories, going for trainings, coaching. We have parenting coaches. We have taking advantage of resources, human, spiritual, physical, to grow, to do better, making that effort. And also, if you're already a parent, like we said, and you need parenting, have a conversation with your child. Be humble. Let your child know that I know I've not been the best. I didn't know better. Don't be overly defensive, so you're giving all these excuses. But I'm a work in progress. So having that conversation can be healing for them as well. But many times we, you know, is it braggado or whatever, our way through, you know, this thing they say about Nigerian parents, we shouldn't have that type. Nigerian parents should, the description now should be they're humble, they admit their faults, and they're ready to learn and work in partnership with their children.
Okay. That question was actually because of something you said yesterday, that there are some parents, the formula they use was, the last time it was used was in during the World War II. Okay. Pastor Sam, help us understand this. We are generally function-focused, not position-focused. Do parents see themselves as leaders to their children?
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I'm not here to rub you powder.
Right?
Yeah.
The word leader, or the words leader and leadership are hardly used when we discuss parenting. Hardly used. Just using those words, I believe, that's paradigm shifting on it in itself. We're in an environment where when you say leader or leaders or leadership, people's minds just go straight to people in government. Because leadership is tied to position and to titles. But these days, gratefully, we're redefining leadership. And we're saying leadership is the ability to influence one or more people to achieve goals. And once you bring that definition down to influence, leadership just cascades down to all levels. And honestly, we then get to appreciate the huge leadership role of parents, especially because it's in the most formative years of a human being. Yesterday, Bovey did mention that the early years are the formative years. He spoke about the importance of education. However, if you've had children and you've taken them to school, a school that knows what they're doing, they will state clearly that they cannot take over the job of parents. They're only helping parents to do their job. At the end of the day, the responsibility rests squarely on the parents. We say vision is the most important quality of a leader. If you take vision out of a leader, there's nothing left. Well, that means that a family needs to have a vision, right? A family needs to have a vision. A family needs to have values. I recall one of our past speakers here at ELC, Dr. Victor Mbanisi. In a private conversation that I had with him, he was referring to the influence that the values that he got from home have had on his business. He said specifically, he said, "You dare not lie." He said, "If you lied in our house, my father will kill you." So you knew that you were safer saying the truth than lying. He said, "I've not been able to take that out of my life." He said, "That went with me into business." And spoke about how his business was one of 17 distributors in Nigeria for a foreign company. At some point, people were cooking the books, doing some funny things. The company abroad found out, carried out their investigation, and they found out only one company was not doctoring anything, and it was his. And they canceled the distribution of all the other 16 companies and gave him sole distributorship in Nigeria. Values that he got from home, the leadership of his dad. So honestly, if we really describe leadership, the place where it starts is from home.
From home.
Thank you. Well, just to say that you have an opportunity to ask questions as well, the ushers will pass some notes around. If your questions are too many, we'll turn the answers into a book, just so you know. And for you online as well, you can ask questions, throw your questions into any of the platforms you are watching us from. There are people on ground who will curate them and send them your own. If your questions are too many, we make them Twitter thread, just so you know. The reason I'm starting from these angles,
yes,
is because that's the kernel. It's the nucleus of society. During your interviews, Pastor Sam, you spoke quite extensively about society, leadership values, and all those things. And a whole lot of people are disappointed all over the world about the kind of values that leaders have. So that's why I'm asking these. Nobody sits a child down and says, "This is how to lie. This is how to cook the books. Don't mind the uncle that was teaching Helen Pop." I told you I'll do my own back. What are the things parents need to look out for? Well, Pastor Sam has reminded us twice here now about what Bovi said yesterday, and it is the truth. The two speakers yesterday and today, they are also here. They told us about the influences from their pasts and everything, and they chose to go different from what they were being taught. There are those who cannot choose different. So, what are the things to look out for? Since now it has been established that parents are leaders, so all parental leaders, take note. So what are the things they should look out for, and how should they be looking out for those things in their children so that they can do what the Bible says, teach your child in the way the child should go?
Okay, thank you so much. I think basically what we've been saying since yesterday up until now, which has not really been said, is love. That love is... that's what, it's the stool on which, the first and major stool on which esteem rests. And I believe now the parent is the one who will provide that love. It may not be traditional anymore. You listen to Helen's story and Miss Folake's story. The similarity there is that their grandma, great-grandma and the other one, the grandma, similar backgrounds and were vulnerable to say that, hey, their mom, you know, got pregnant. What do you say? Out of wedlock, rape, whatever. They were ashamed. They hid, tried to hide them, but there was someone in the family that took them up. The grandmother. Helen's grandma was a thug. Literally. And, you know, and not in a bad way.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Yeah.
And Helen is listening. And you can see, apart from the fact that she said she has a choleric temperament, you could see the grandma's also behavioral patterns, you know, in her. Not in a bad way, because she was open to say that, but that was the direct influence. That if you touch this one, so the fighting, people may label the grandma as troublesome, but what I see is love. That protection that, fine, call her bastard, but you, do you want to confirm that? You are hearing them calling you bastard. Read your books. This is how you are going to prove them wrong. She did it the tough way, right? I think that was tough love. That was the one person that did not throw her away. That was her parent. That was the real parent. And also Miss Folake as well, the grandma, until the mom came into the scene and took over from there. And of course, later on, even after the meeting, we continued to talk privately, and it was more like her mother, at the time her mother came into her life, her mother was beginning to say, but who taught you these things? But who taught you these things? I wasn't there. She was just watching her own child evolve. So that's a worst case scenario where the traditional parents are not there. So who are you willing, to stand up to be a parent? I created an orphanage because I wanted to be a parent to some parentless people to give hope. And it's worked out. So I think we need to look at it differently. Because there are people that will be like, okay, I didn't have, or there's someone here who is a single mom or single dad, or for some reason you have this child you're raising. You are the parent now. And so what you have to offer, first of all, is love. That esteem, we cannot overemphasize it. I think Bobby said that we should have, love should be taught in schools. I always thought that, and I'm not sure if I ever verbalized it by saying, voice of love to nations and all that, but in the corporate world now, they're pulling on that, but not calling it love, they're calling it empathy, they're talking about kindness, they're talking about humility in the workplace, like they're trying to come back to those values that we should have, those values that are in the Bible, those values that we should have, they're bringing it to the workplace. So if you don't hear it at home, you will still hear it in the workplace. But home is the place. So if we didn't have, if we were not brought up with those values, we can tell ourselves as individuals, as adults, that I am going to I'm going to give birth to myself again. I'm going to be born again. You know, they say in our language, or beer, turebi, let me translate. You were given birth to. Things don't seem to be working. Now you rebirth yourself. And don't get hung up on how you were born or raised. Now, raise yourself. parent yourself with the tools that are available. It's not too late for you. I hope that has helped.
But
I'll
quickly follow up on that. Talking about love, I know there is no question that I will ask you, Pastor Nike, that you will not talk about love. I know.
Try to avoid it.
But I'll like you to speak to two things. Yeah. Pastor Sam, you'll be speaking about shifting from where we were to where we ought to be. I have read that love chapter. Mm-hmm. And there was a day I had to sit in the gents one day to look at the 16 characteristics of love.
Wow.
Number one, patience. The teenager is the person you least have patience for.
Yes.
Now you must be patient because patience is a characteristic of love.
Yeah.
And there are 16 of them. Yeah. To cross the first one is civil war.
Yeah.
So
what do we do?
So what do we do?
We just do it.
Ah.
We just have to do it. It's, I think, looking at the other side of what that will be, holding yourself, not shouting, not creating that, and again, it's intentional parenting, not losing it, because the other side of that child, when that teenager becomes an adult, and he realizes or she realizes that, oh my God, I was mean, I was nasty. How did my dad even, how did my uncle or whoever is raising, how did they even cope? So why don't you live for when they'll be sober? Why don't you live for that thank you, no matter how long it will take? Why don't you live for that time they'll come back and say, thank you for not giving up on me.
Yeah.
I realized how mean, they didn't know then, I realized how mean I was. And the rewards you will get. Just even the spiritual rewards, the thank you, the emotional comfort that, okay, now they're out of that. Some are long drawn, some it's short, but some it's long drawn, and you're wondering, when will they begin to appreciate? You have to live for that. But if you don't, I mean, plus other rewards that could come in, some it's cars, some it's a bid to a house, but don't wait for that, okay? They know your retirement plan. So it will just be an addition. That day where their eyes open and they say, thank you. Now, but if you were so short-tempered, you didn't apply the patience and the love and ask God for grace, then you would have thrown them away and someone else may reap the rewards of that.
Okay.
Someone else you've pushed them to. They may go to cults, they may go to this cult leader. They say, come, we are here. We have association of those they've thrown away. And when they begin to prosper in life, that's who they go give the reward to. That's who they go say thank you. If you birthed a child, or you raised a child before the child became a teenager, please hang in there through the teenagers, because what you did up to that teenage age, when they were all still nice, you don't want to lose it. We want to bridge the communication gap.
Yeah.
And that's why I say parenting will humble you. If you don't want to be humble, you will. Because it has to be tough love. And you always have to be proud of your child. Earring and all, green hair, what you have, everything. Okay? The one you can meet them halfway a little bit. At least you can see this one has small colors, small. Don't be too, I'm not saying we shouldn't be conservative if we are conservative, but just let them see that you're trying. You can even say, look, I don't understand your generation. You know I'm old school, but let me know how. You can be humble enough to say, let me know how to parent you.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong in that.
Absolutely.
How? Then they will see that you're coming down from your high horse. It's conversation now in this generation. It's not talking. We will not lose our rewards. We will not lose our children. Please don't look at other parents who have it all together or who seem to have it all together. Their children are looking, you know, it doesn't look like they had anything rough in between. And as a parent, you're already having anxiety. Why is mine like this? Why is my child so, you know, gone far? The prodigal son, the prodigal, he went. There's one that stayed at home that was the prim and proper, but from the same parents, one went. Until he realized one day, and what was waiting for him, love was waiting for him. The father saw him afar off and welcomed him because he lived for the day that this one will realize and come back home.
two sons, opposite, the prim and proper one, and then the one, we don't talk enough about that. And so there was a day of that, you know. So let's not have any hang-ups. Let's not accept that we're failures because your child is in his teenage years or her teenage years. And from the teenage into her 20s, in the 20s, some are still behaving like teenagers. Just be there. Christ was there for us. God was there for us. Just hang in there. And in the journey, enjoy yourself.
Please give her
It's a seed. Parenting is a selfless thing. When my kids were growing up, we exposed them to creativity. Instruments before the age of 5, keyboard, guitar. One said she wanted a drum after, what, how old is she? 7 years old, the youngest, they got drums. And today they play at least 3 instruments each. Now, am I the one enjoying it? Yeah, when they're all together in the house, they play, we have a wonderful time. I mean, I used to beg them over the years, please let me be your manager. They can bring in money. They said it's just a hobby. But very early on, I realized one day, dawned on me that all these skills they have, this creativity, music, art, and all of that, I dawned on me one day that I'm not the one that's going to enjoy it. The communities to which they are going into, they are the ones that will enjoy it. First of all, the schools they're going and all that, the friends they'll make, whatever associations they join. And then ultimately, whatever family they go and start will enjoy this. So let someone's spouse say, who told you? My mom bought us instruments. And someone will just say, I bless God for your background, right? But the issue, when it dawned on me that day I made up my mind that parenting is a selfless thing. And at that point in time, I will have to decide whether to continue to invest in that or not. Seeing that it's not like it was going to come back to me. Do you see? You train them. You raise to release. Just like we do for our leaders in this. You raise to release for another to enjoy. The communities that enjoy them will now say, omotaniye. And sometimes the parent has gone to glory. Like Bobby was talking yesterday. Even for Lakit was talking yesterday. Their mothers have gone to glory already.
Allow me to punctuate you for a bit. We're talking about the, you know, parents of the same children. There are certain communities of parents that are seldom spoken about. And they also have to do what you're saying. Single parents. Foster parents, step parents. Those are a little more complex. Same rules? Are they the same rules that they have to follow?
Yes. Because we cannot stay with it. It's not always a traditional father, mother. That is not, those who have it, we thank God. But it's not always that scenario. And I'm glad you are bringing that up, because there should be hope for those ones as well. We heard the stories. It was the grandmas that did the work. And Ms. Polaki said, don't judge. She forgave her mom. She, you know, don't judge. She gave us a perspective that it just means that in my early years, I needed my grandma, and in my later years, I needed my mom. So she didn't say, hey, where did you now surface from? The first 14 years of my life, where were you? You abandoned me. Forget all of that. Your parent is the one who loves you. So can we even change the definition of parent? The parent is one who picked you up and decided to love you and nurture you. Not necessarily the one that gave you birth. So if you decide to take on that role, do it well. Don't be an abuser. Don't be an abuser and say, after I'm not the parent, I'm still trying. No, whatever you do, do well. You are the custodian still. Because they always say parent or guardian. Guardian.
I'm going to repeat that. If you took up that job, help me cross it now.
Then do it well.
One more time. If you took up that job, do it well.
So if the parent failed and the child falls on your lap, do it. Stop saying, hey, I'm not even your parent. It fell on your lot. It fell on your lot. Maybe even as a teacher, look at Helen saying that lecture and university, can I stay for 3 days? And I know that story she has shared with me before. She was there for the whole year. They didn't know she was not a student. Wow. Then the following year, she now properly enrolled. God bless him, because he's eating the fruit of the labor. Now see, I'm just a lecturer, but he went the extra mile. Because she just, like they say, like upon your neck. And God bless his wife too for saying yes.
Thank you so much for that.
That's why Mrs. Potiphar should have done better.
Oh, well.
She sent him to prison. She's supposed to say, cleaner in the house, houseboy. She should have said, my husband, this boy is very dedicated. Let's be sending him to evening school.
The problem with Mrs. Potiphar is that she didn't have Pastor Nick idea. That's the problem.
She too was not healed. She had issues.
Exactly.
So she sent him to prison.
Parents that needed parenting. Okay. Mm.
So, but we'll all be healed because, you know, we say church hurts, organization hurts, hurting people hurt others. And that's why I believe that we need to look at healing for leaders.
Hallelujah.
Not just women, but for everyone.
Well, Pastor Sam, you do this in 90 seconds because we have plenty of questions from them and from them. I know that there's an institution, I know at least of one institution that's about teaching other people how to parent. A principal has a system, you know, like that. Would you recommend, I know that we have a school of parenting. How strongly would you recommend the school of parenting for parents who need parenting as the parent?
Thank you. Anytime one has to get training when one is on the job already, that is emergency intervention. It's like learning how to be a leader when you're a leader already. Now, it's like you're at crisis stage. It's now urgent and important. So, I would say, if there's a school for parenting, there's a seminar or conference for parenting, parents should treat attending such programs as an emergency. We're talking about the formation of humans, the most valuable assets on this planet. The time frame that we have actually for making the most critical investments in the lives of our children, it is limited. It is limited. I had this conflict when our children were very young, and that was just when I was getting invitations to speak. And the income from the speaking was what was sustaining the family. I was out speaking in this Lagos. I was out speaking practically every night. And then 10 p.m., 11 p.m., I would be driving home. By the time I got home, the children were asleep. After some time, I began to feel uncomfortable. And see, this is where parenting is so important. It's not even so much about what you say as a parent, it's what you do. Because the scenario in our home when I was growing up was what came to my mind. And I said to myself, I was not raised like this. My parents used to be there in the evenings. When we were in Niger State, there was no television, no TV. So it was the radio. Where you have TV now. It was the radio that we had in the living room. And everybody would sit in the living room. My parents would tell stories and all that, ask us questions, you know, we'd talk, and then we'd listen to programs on the radio. Then gratefully, we moved to the city. And there was TV. So, but the picture I had in my mind was that in the evenings, my parents were there. And here I was every night. I was out. Something is wrong here, something. But whenever I wanted to resolve it, like, okay, the decision then was not easy. It was like, with the calling, the call of God on my life. If I don't preach, I would be depriving people of the grace of God on my life. But eventually God gave me wisdom, and it had to do with understanding seasons. I just recognized. Thank God the Bible says that the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. So the calling will be there. I knew I would be preaching for life. I said, but these children will not be young for life. Right now, they're the ones that need me. But once they get into that phase where they can make friends, and that's usually the teenage phase, they will begin to get validation from outside. Said, if I don't play my own role now, I would be the one chasing them. And it may be too late. I just caught it. I just did an about turn and killed most of the invitations. Started turning down most, taking few, because I wanted to be there. I wanted to drive them to school, pick them from school, and those things, right? To make the, you know, make the invitations when it was the right time to do it. So back to the point. If you're parenting already, then please, attending training, going to a school of parenting, reading books on parenting, getting, even if it's possible, coaching on parenting, treat that as an emergency.
Okay, still talking about parenting. I believe this is sent in by a student from online. As a student, how do you identify your purpose and harness your gifts? And in the subject of identity, how can you not look foolish as a leader, especially when you're too small compared with the people you're meant to lead? That's for you, Pastor Sam. And it's a student that sent it.
Perfect time to ask the question. Why am I here? What on earth am I here for? There's one thing most people, practically all of us, are looking for that most people cannot define. But when we see it or experience it, we recognize it. It is called fulfillment. And you get fulfillment from alignment. When something is being used for its purpose, that's where you get fulfillment from. So when your life is being invested in fulfilling your purpose or purposes, that's when you will get fulfillment. Some people, whenever we are deprived of something, we tend to amplify the value of that thing. So when you lack money, you think, oh, the greatest need of your life is money. When you lack a job, you think the greatest need of your life right now is to get a job. But you ask all those that have gotten those things, and they'll tell you they're still looking for more. Jesus Christ told the woman by the well, Pastor Nikes spoke extensively about her yesterday. Jesus Christ told her, whoever drinks of the water of this well that you are drinking, the person will thirst again. He said, but whoever drinks the one that I have to give, it will become in the person a well of life, springing up to eternal life. And that's the internal fulfillment. Christ was saying there is nothing on this planet that God created to give you lasting fulfillment. The fulfillment will expire. You will want more. So the people that have money, they find out there's still something more they're looking for. The people that have the titles and so on, they're still looking for something. How do you know your purpose? One, I encourage you to pray. Ask the person that created you in the first place. Secondly, look at your design. Because usually the design speaks to the purpose. So look at your design as a person. That's the reason why you are a male. That's the reason why you are female. That's the reason why you are an extrovert. That's the reason why you are an introvert. You don't need to become somebody else to fulfill your purpose. God already designed you for your own purpose. Take time to understand your design. I encourage people to do psychometric tests. Go online and so on. Temperament test, personality test, strength test, and so on. And then next, look at your experiences, right? What are the things that have worked easily for you? Why have you gotten your best results so far? Because God is just so marvelous that He's provided for you to perform best in the area of your purpose. Finally, use every opportunity to serve. Use every opportunity to serve, starting for free, right? If you feel like singing, sing for free, right? Whatever you feel like doing, do it for free, because it is in experimenting that you actually find what works and you find what doesn't work. I should add intuition. If you are sensing, feeling, do what you are feeling, right? And then you say, okay, you are so young right now. How do you lead well? How do you get validation about your leading? I'll tell you this: love people. When you don't know the principles for leadership yet, the 21 irrefutable laws of leadership and all of them, I'll tell you the one thing you should do, and you will be sure you won't fail, as young as you are, is to genuinely care for people.
Pastor Nike, it seems Mukoro Grace has caught the bug of what we were talking about earlier. Send this from Facebook. How can you achieve being a leader as a parent and your partner isn't showing these attributes? The children are having conflicting views and perspectives about life.
So she's talking about a partner that is not supportive.
Yeah.
So I would say do your part. Do what you can do. Because you can't, you probably have complained, you've talked, and all that for the other person to do their part. But they're not doing it. So do your part. You may have to do more than necessary, but do your part. Because like he said, and like it's established, they are only young for a period of time. So it might be intense, but do your part. It's annoying. It's irritating when the other person is not doing their part because you are in partnership. In a marriage situation, right, you brought these children to the world together. But if the person is there and she's not doing her part or he's not doing his part, do your own part. Heaven is recording. That child will thank you later. You see, those who are single parents, maybe someone's a single mom or a single dad, they already know the other person is not there. Maybe the other person has passed on, or maybe it's a situation of divorce or separation. And even in that situation, the child should still have access to the other person so that the other person still does their own part. But it's annoying in a two-parent family, and one person is not doing their part. I don't know whether to say in your mind, just assume you're a single parent. That may be extreme. But you may want to not compare, but tell yourself, okay, what if I was the only one? Well, you're saying, but I am not the only one, right? So just do your part. You still can and pray. The other person will eventually come round. Maybe not through your nagging or whatever. Pray, drop hints, and if the other person is still not doing it, then leave them to God. Leave them to the day they will realize. And if they realize too late, they are the ones that will be sad because they'll find out that they lost time.
Yeah.
Just like he said, he realized that, I have to put in the time now. And he cut back, on the ministrations and all of that. It's good to share the work. It's good. When you sometimes, for some reason, some people don't think that to share the work. So what do you do? Some men believe that they should bring in the money and the wife should do every other thing. So there are different schools of thought because bringing in the money too is huge. Some women bring in the money and the man is not able to bring in a lot. And sometimes you find such men maybe are even more domesticated. They spend more time with the children. And that's okay. There's no shame in that. But there's some men, there is no job, they don't do more, the woman is doing more, and they still insist that they're still not doing anything. You see? So we say, I hope you're not rubbing enough for me on this. And let me interpret. If you don't have money, have care. But some also mean that they're not even bringing any of the two to the table. So you must bring something to the table for a child to be well-formed and nourished, right? Yeah. And grandparents too can help. It goes beyond just parents. If you have more grace and you become a grandparent, you can help. If your children who are the parents are dropping the ball, you can come in with their permission. With their permission, because it builds into the child's esteem. So don't get bitter. Do your part. Just do your part and say, God, help me. Do your part and rest. Don't, because you are taking on the job of two people. Don't die before your time. Because you have to see what that child will become.
So, mind shift for you. Question to Dr. Sam Adeyemi. This one is from YouTube. Your name is The Father Storyteller Word Exposition. That's your name. Says, how do you build tenacity or consistency when nothing motivates you? Or do I maintain tenacity in doing nothing?
Thank you. Well, this question reminds me of where Pastor Chris got started from in his presentation this morning. He was there. He was there, flat. So I remember what he said, listening. He said, we're going to hear my presentations on radio, and then he would graduate to buying loads of CDs and listening. So it's not even tenacity first. It's getting your motivation. Finding a reason to even stand up. Finding a reason to wake up in the morning, right? And that is going to come from a shift in perspective. Because you're actually feeling down and flat because of how you are thinking at the moment. Because of your interpretation, your current interpretation of your circumstances. And I promise you, things are not always as bad as they seem. We had that quote yesterday, right, from Helen Keller, that when you approach a bend, it looks like an end. Yet, all you need to do is to make the turn, and then the road stretches out ahead of you. Yep, it's only a bend, it's not an end. So, when you are feeling discouraged, feeling down and out, the first major thing is you need the people that will speak to you to shift your thinking. That's the first thing you need to do. You need to see things differently. And then once you've gotten that, then we can talk about tenacity, which has to do with the momentum to keep going. Then, so when it comes to that, you got to have a goal. You got to have a big vision. It's that vision. It's that goal. And it should not only be about you. Yeah, you see, it could be about you, and that will motivate you. But I'm telling you, that would take you only so far. For example, if your goal, your dream in life is to be comfortable, it won't take long. You will have a good job. You will make some money. You will have a good house. And then you will lose your drive again for living. But if it is focused on other people, solving problems for others, I promise you the needs are endless. So by the time you solve the needs for 10 people, you will realize you have another 100 that have the same problem. It's like one of our leaders in church here, he used to be in the board of a bank, and they had this corporate retreat, and Africa's richest man was there. They invited some of their customers to come talk to them because they wanted feedback about their services, and they invited Alhaji Dangote. So he said that one of the bank staff asked him a question. Alhaji, you're a billionaire. You have money already. What to hit is not your motivation. Why are you starting new businesses? What's the point? And Alhaji Dangote replied and said, my motivation has gone beyond looking for what to eat. With the level of deprivation in this environment, when I employ one person, I know I'm feeding anywhere from 5 to 20 people. They can have a roof over their head, have food to eat, have clothes on their back. The children can go to school. They said, it is because of that impact. That's why I'm starting the businesses, because now I can affect many more people by giving them jobs. That was a paradigm shifter, right? So I'm saying, if you ask some of us, what keeps us going? What makes us to wake up in the morning and to keep going? It's because the problems have not been solved yet. The problems are endless, and we're focused on making our world a better place. I promise you, when you turn the focus from yourself and put it on other people, the chances of being discouraged will be much less.
Thank you, sir. Dave Chris on live.dsrng.org is asking this question. Says, now I understand that most of us who are of the older generation, I'm in the younger generation, were brought up very strictly. And most of those values are what is helping us today. So I think I'm going to ask Pastor Nike this one. How do we balance or transfer these cultures to the younger generation without being that strict or antagonistic? May I also add narcissistic?
I mean, if you grew up if you were raised by very strict parents, okay, you have values that are working for you, but you may also have fear. It may also be shame-based. While you have those values that, yes, you were taught not to lie, if you lie, you know. And so today in your organization, like the example you gave, but I don't know whether this person is, we don't know whether there was some trauma in between. And he finds it difficult to lie, yeah, because his parents will kill him if he lies. But sometimes it has to go beyond that, because you don't lie because you know that honesty is a good value. You're either motivated by pain or pleasure. Many of us were motivated by pain. If you do this, 5 strokes of the cane, right? Mm-hmm. And if you do this, you will not have food to eat. So you are motivated by pain. You could literally feel the pain ahead. Some were motivated by pleasure. If you do this, you get to get a holiday, you get to get to, you know. We are motivated by pain or pleasure. It depends on what you want to do. I think this younger generation, they want to be motivated by pleasure. And you don't want to give that pleasure because you're like, that was not what I was motivated with. I was not promised sweets or, you know, promised, you know, more pocket money if I did well or anything. It was, if you don't do well, 5 strokes of the cane. So, but I think that we can do better, that we don't have to use fear to raise people. So they'll do it out of fear, but can they still continue to do it when you're not there? So I think it's a balance. It's a balance. What does God expect of us? Explaining to a child even our expectations and the consequences, not from us, but the consequences they will suffer if they do or don't do what you're telling them about. I think it's more impactful to show them the way, not because you must be pleased, right? So I think it's a higher level. It's a higher calling, but we must be patient to explain and transfer that understanding. Many of our parents, it was slippers. You understand that, you know, in our generation, right? But not for all of us. Not for all of us. Some of us had maybe a strict parent and the other one was lenient. So there was that balance, right? So I think we just have to work at it and let love still be underlined. And don't be so rigid and fearful. We should not be fearful. Even though the children too will sense fear and that we are not confident and that we are so afraid of how we will look. We feel that, okay, if our children don't turn out well, then we will be labeled unsuccessful. But I think really the child has to know that if you don't turn out well, it is yours. You will eat that. You will
bear the consequences.
Bear the consequences of your actions, because I've taught you. Like God says also, choose between you life. I've put between you life and death. Choose. God is a choosing God. He always shows us to choose. He does not force himself on us.
Well, this one is also for you, Pastor Nika. It's from Tolulokwe Adesanya on YouTube. What is the place of therapy in healing?
Yes.
And why is it such a taboo in this part of the world?
Good. I was even almost going to mention it as one of the tools that we can accept. It should not be a taboo. I think it's fast becoming less of a taboo now. It didn't get to us in this part of the world on time. Therapy, counseling, coaching, all those words, they are just in the same family, right? They're in the same family. And in the church world, we know you have a pastor who preaches, right? But he doesn't come to your house to help you work out the day-to-day details. So you need someone who is sometimes a therapist, a coach, or whatever, that will one-on-one walk you through the rudiments, the questions that you have. This is, we're having Q&A here. We can't even answer everyone's questions, right? So if this was a church service, the pastor will preach, pray for you, amen, you go home. But there are still some questions, some workings internally that you might need him to break down for you, and he may not be available to do that for everybody one-on-one. So in the church, there's the counseling department that counsel for the people who are so sold out to that. Like in this, that we have a very strong one. They counsel you for free. There are counselors there. There's a head counselor. All the people that have that gifting, that love to do that, they join that unit. They don't necessarily join prayer unit or join ushering. That is the unit they join. They are waiting to help people one-on-one because the pastor can't do it all with a one-directional message. And it's free. But the people there sometimes may have to recommend you to another counselor who may not be in their team, or they may have to recommend you in some instances to a colleague or someone they know that counsels. You might have to pay a fee if it's beyond what they offer for free. There is free and there is fee. So it depends on how deep your problem is, and you need strategies to come out of it. Because these things can be very deep, and sometimes we can't do it on our own.
Absolutely.
So therapy is important. I remember yesterday, after the sessions, and we're having lunch, someone came to me. I won't even mention her name, but she's one of our pastor's wives. And she had sent him a text, and then she told me that, that's what I'm checking for. I sent him a text. I said, what is this? She says, you people were just doing, therapy is what you are doing. And I knew what she was trying to say. And she was just in the sessions yesterday. She didn't say who and whose session, but she was just saying, therapy. You are eating into our work. I knew what she was trying to say because she does that for a fee. She counsels for a fee, yes. She's a counselor, but she has her own counseling business or coaching business, which is along those lines. Helping people, I don't want to go there because people know who I'm talking about now. Some people suffer grief so much that it's beyond, the pastor has prayed for you and everything. So we're like, easy enough. 1 year now, 2 years, you should be over your father's death or over the death of your partner. But for not, it's not that easy for everyone. So some people have to go see a counselor who is skilled in that area. And these counselors have the grace of God, the training, the calling, and the training. And sometimes they paid I paid to be a certified coach, but I had to find out my niche, which area of coaching do I want to do? So, and not everybody will come to a group coaching. Some leaders will not come to a group coaching.
Absolutely.
Say we all want to. They want that one-on-one, private, But she was just saying, therapy. She was happy, but she was just like, what we charge for. You were just all just giving it for free.
Well, whoever she, don't.
So thank God for ELC. And this, yes,
yeah.
Free, catch it.
Don't blame such a person for saying that.
I will not blame her for saying that, but for me, she was validating teaching. I remember, I don't know whether it was September or August, some months back, and I was home here in church in Daystar, and on a Sunday I was preaching all three services. I don't know what I called the title of the message, but many people commented and said, your message was therapeutic. And that was the one that I was talking about, Arancon. Everybody's cranky because of what's going on in the country. And all I said was, how are we coping? That maybe butter has to fall off the list of things that you buy. I wasn't preaching poverty, but I was sensitive and identifying with those who could afford butter before, but butter is now a luxury. People laugh, they do, but many people are coming, that message was therapeutic, it was comforting. It was like you understood, you connected. Maybe a therapist is someone who listens one-on-one.
Maybe I should actually be your own consultant. So anybody who wants to consult you, they will pass through me, I'll be your manager.
So the church world needs to go beyond just the preaching, acknowledge that there are also these gifts.
Yeah.
They may not have been mentioned in the fivefolds.
Yeah.
But they're trained and they're skilled, and some are Christian psychologists as well, to help you out of depression. Mm-hmm, that's what we don't like using. To help you out of anxiety. Okay? Read your Bible, but you may need a little more help. And that's when you engage these people.
Absolutely. But just a quick one on that. For those of you who attend Daystar Christian Center, if you don't know where to go for this information, there is a place designated. It is called Information Center. Go there. You will get information about School of Parenting, about Counseling Unit, and all of that. For those of you who are online, same thing. Ask the question in the group now. You will get the information you need. Our time is up, Pastor Sam, but I need to ask this question. It was sent, I believe, from within this hall. I'm going to ask the two questions back to back. That quite a lot. Pastor Sam, how do you combine being a pastor? Let me use my glasses properly. How do you combine being a pastor, pioneer, speaker, traveler, didn't put it that way, traveling all over the world with being a father? One.
And husband.
And husband.
She did not put husband there.
Yes, important.
She didn't put husband there.
In fact, I think that question of husband is answered because you have validated that he's still a good one.
Well, that person did not mention.
The second part of it, because I want you to answer the two together. As a student, when the pressure from your parents, school, and society are much more than you can bear, what should you do? But please start from the first one. How do you combine being a pastor, pioneer, speaker, traveling all over the world, with being a husband and father?
But the person didn't move husband.
They leave that one. I'm an editor.
Thank you very much. In short, it's managing your time. Just realizing that you will never have enough time to do all the things that you wish you could do. So, and this is a skill. Your time, people in the business world say time is money. Sometimes we've come to realize time is actually even more than money. Time is your life. So managing your time is managing your life, literally. So I had actually to learn that. And one of the most helpful hints I got, or insights I should say, was from The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen R. Covey. Before then, I had learned about goal setting. So every day I would have to-do lists. And my to-do list would be long. And then Covey says, you can do 50 things in a day and still not feel fulfilled. He said, the first thing you should do is to identify your roles. So I said, okay, fine. I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a son to my parents, I'm a brother to my siblings, I'm a pastor, I'm a teacher, I'm this, I'm that. So that's usually what I do. Then he says, then you can set the goals under those roles. Determine the frequency at which you need to touch base with each of them and just make sure that you cover all of them. Okay? In a week, as many as possible, or in a month, and so on, or in a year. He said the fulfillment actually comes from doing the most important things, the things that are highest on the list under each role. Because you, for example, so you can achieve all the goals in the area of career if you don't do what's important on the husband side or on the father side, you will still not be happy. They will be giving you awards on one side, things will be breaking down on the other. So I prioritize. Then your values come in. You need to define your values. What are the things that are most important to you as a person in life? go online for short. If you are asking, go online, just type words that describe values. You see 25 words, 50 words, 100. Take the one that has 100. As you go through the list, write the ones that affect you, that are important to you. Then try to condense them into 10. And look at them every day until they get into your subconscious, because they help your decision making. If I have a clash, for example, between my being husband and work, my value system kicks in. Husband comes first before the work part. That gives me fulfillment. I may have lost something, or I may be able to reschedule something. I told the people on our management team here at Desta, I said, I would delegate everything delegatable. I said, there's hardly anything I do here I cannot delegate. So I said, but if I ever have a clash, you know, between my responsibilities, I would delegate the ones I can delegate. I'll go do the ones I cannot delegate. I said, I'm sorry. I should say it clearly. I cannot delegate for you to be husband to my wife. Okay? I can't delegate for you to be father to my children. So if there's a clash, maybe between me preaching at the service here and having to do something for my wife or my children, that will come first. Hmm. So I don't have... Thank you. When I take a diary for a new year, the first dates that get into my diary are dates that have to do with the family. The birthdays, our wedding anniversary, we always take a week off. When the kids were in school, we have only one left in school now, almost done. All the school days, we enter my diary first. The date of resumption, date for half-term, date for closing date, and all that we enter first. Then my own work, Desta and coaching and all that, those ones will come in. Before I now take other people's jobs that they want me to help them to do, those ones will then come in. So with those, I live a fulfilled life. And going on vacation is part of it. Taking time off is part of it.
We'll come to that without feeling guilty. We'll come to that one. We'll come to that one. Because one of the things that I'm hoping we'll be able to do is talk about how you rest.
We'll His mic to needs to...
Okay, maybe because my time is up.
rest.
We'll come to that one. Because I wanted to know, how do you rest and make sure she rests? How do you rest, Ma, and make sure he rests? How important is rest?
Thank you. As you were asking the question, I thought you should go here.
Okay, so maybe that's the last one, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It's a struggle for him to rest, actually, if we'll be honest. I said it's a struggle for him to rest, if I'll be honest. And even sometimes for me as well, because the work is a lot. And over the years, the work has grown on you. It's grown. I mean, he still has both his parents alive. I have both my parents alive. He's firstborn and firstborn. I didn't know that firstborn and firstborn don't marry. It's not written anywhere, but I just say that sometimes jokingly, that they didn't tell me that two firstborns should not marry, because he's the head, he's the leader of the home. So yes, he leads me. I have to step down for him. But in my own right, I grew up as a leader. And I had siblings to look out for. And I have 84-year-old parents. And he also has parents in their 80s. His dad is even older, who still live in this Nigeria. So all the time we didn't come to Nigeria, 3 years, COVID and everything. And you're like, hey, where are they? They have jackpot. Did you even think of what our parents were going through? Each firstborns, didn't they feel threatened? The fact is that they were even the most understanding of it all. Until after I was like, okay, it looks like the coast is... They felt the coast was not clear. And they would rather have you alive than you trying to come home to see them and something happens. So it was their level of maturity. So those things are emotionally nerve-wracking. So there's that individual work I have to do that he has to do. And there's the one that we have to make time for each other, because there's a phase in our lives, and we're still working on it, where you're giving yourself to people, I'm giving myself to people, you know, There's just all this work, and we're not giving ourselves to each other.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's why I said that person did not put husband. And it's a mindset. So how do you combine all this rest? I'm not judging you. Do you ask that question? Work this, father, pastor this. Father, that covers the family.
Yeah.
Consultant did the husband was not there. Because people don't look at when you're a wife, it's work. When you're a husband, it's work. So people don't put it in the equation. They understand the parenting one as a father, as a mother. But they don't understand the across one, and that's the one that suffers the most. So you have to make sure that your relationship with God, that vertical one, you wake up like this. When you talk to anybody, pray, talk to your maker. Talk to your maker before you even talk to me. I don't want to take the place of God. Because if you talk to God first, it will be okay. What you will say to me will be, it will be okay, you get it. So it's not a competition. It's about everyone having their role and prioritizing. But many times, and I'm just saying this for us, but for all of us out there, because some people, their ministry is that marriage, then family. So you don't put the family, the general thing, above that union.
Absolutely.
Because if not, the other one would have. But that's the one that suffers the most. Because you take that for granted. You take it for granted, you're still in the same house now. Sorry, I just borrowing pastor. You know, you have not seen when people are too tired to do anything. Hello? You want me to go there?
No, not yet. Not yet. Not yet.
You are knacking, eh? Before you see knacking. Hey. Will I go there? Are we saying days or weeks?
This conversation.
You hit the bed like this. You knock out, both of you. Or once somebody sleeps off downstairs, in front of the TV, trying to unwind, the other person like this. We assume things until you get in there and you have the level. See, be careful what you pray for. Lord, use me. Use me. Use me. I want to win the world. Hey. And that is why when you see celebrities, they're not celebrities, though, and you see they might pray for them. And they started out well. Where's their marriage failing after 10 years? Where's their friend? Fans. Because the fans want them. The fans. The members want, everybody wants. So when you see gifted people, it's tough. When you see creative people, there's a pull on the gift. The pull is on his gift. He's a gifted man. The pull is on his gift. There's a certain pull on my gift as well. And that is why now I do something. I take leaders, although they are female leaders for now, I take them to a quiet, deserted place, and I call it Breeze. With Nikki Adem. It's expensive because I'm doing it for those at the top. I know what I'm giving those at the, the Mother Teresa woman is there, we are, mission work, but at the top, you pay a premium for it because it's 5-star. And those are the ones I want to target. People like me, or you're in your 40s, you've been working.
Yeah.
There were women that told me in those 2 years of doing it, last year and this year, that made this confession that this is the first time I'm having a time alone with other women. It's always been, we take vacation, we're comfortable, but it's either with me and husband, or me, husband, and children. And you have children at certain levels. People don't tell you. You come back from a vacation, you need to take a vacation again. You're pushing buggy, you're saying, and then I see people on social media, they didn't tell us it's like this. That's, you suck it in, you resume work, put up your face, and that's, but you are tired.
Wow.
So at my level, it's for what I want. Come apart for 4 days and just breathe. Let your head down in the midst of other women like you. And that's it. Maybe the men will do their own, some people do couples get away where they have to literally.
Let the men. Breathe.
Yes. So if I'll be honest with you, it's something we continue, to the glory of God, it's May 1st this year. We turned 30 years in marriage. To the glory of God. And they start this November, it's turning 28 years, so do the math.
Wow.
We were both 28 years old when we founded Daystar. Daystar is 28 years now. When you add it together, it's no secret that we're both 56. And it's 2 months older than me. So we're still a work in progress. Thank God for the grace of God. But thank God for working it out as well.
Hallelujah.
Slugging it out. Having conversations. Just saying, hey, we're not resting. hey, you're not having time for me, I'm not nagging. Okay, you yourself need to rest. Hey, it's just this week that is busy, we'll find time. And so we've tried to, you know, it's been better. You think it's better because, okay, we're more abroad now. And it's just that when you're abroad, if you want to do some shopping, there's one place called Costco, it's wholesale you buy. If he says, okay, let's go. If he says, we're going together. If I want to go, he says, we're going. So we're pushing trolley.
Together.
Cart, and we are buying things. That is by bonding time. Not necessarily date time. Use every simple available time because there's no driver there. There's no... Few times we've run into people that say, Pastor, Sam, I saw you on TV, but very few. Where I can just wear my slippers and say, we are going to... And that 30 minutes to quickly go and get something in between Zoom meetings. I'll take it. And, you know, or just a quick bite. It's lunchtime. Okay, let's pop into somewhere, get lunch. Have a meeting by 4. You have one by 5. Okay, and we're back home on the Zoom meeting. And we're at the salary. We've quickly thrown that in. That's how we do it there. But here is, you know, so it's tough. How many people agree with me?
We agree.
It's tough. It's fun. It's at the best. But keep working on it and tell yourself, okay, I get to do life with someone.
Absolutely.
At least. I get to do life. And you look at their strong qualities, you know. Even if it's just, he's a good husband, but he's also a good dad. So if that takes some load off me, when our children are going through stuff, depending on what they're going through, if he's closer to that one, because some are like him, there's one that is like me, so you understand this one's language, Joe?
Yeah.
So it's, so partnering together and discussing it, it helps the goal easier.
Absolutely.
And honestly, when you've come too far to say, you know what, we're going to be in this and we're going to grow old together, and it's going to be for the long haul. Let me round up. There's one couple we met once at one meeting. Remember, I think it was Akin's graduation. I don't remember that couple. The woman is a retired army general. They're African Americans. And the man also probably was in the military as well, but how she's so star studded and everything. And they both retired. And we asked them, what's the secret of their marriage? What's it? So you know what she said? She said it's cheaper to keep him. And he looked and said, yup. It was just a funny thing to say. I think they married 40 years.
So long as it works. Thank you so much.
Yeah. But no, it's not cheaper to keep you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
So friends, just keep growing.
Absolutely.
And be resting in between. Don't expire before your time.
Well, let me do it the way we do it on television. And that wraps up this part of the program today. Thank you so much for being a part of it. Dr. Nicky Adeyemi and Pastor Sam Adeyemi, thank you so much. We'll be back next year for this session again. But in the meantime, ELC continues right after now. Do stay with us.
Oh! Yeah.